The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, let's see. I get a little off here tonight. I think a lot going on up here in the area, I guess. But I'm your host here at Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's me. And be with you until midnight tonight. And we got, I guess, breaking news going around us here. And I just had Andrew telling me that there's a car chase. For those of you who are familiar with what's going on in the Cleveland area, it's pretty much all over the news, and the Drudge Report had a headline. And you know, I went to church. I was at church today, and watching everything that was going on in church, and come home from church. I actually didn't get home until a little later than usual. I think it was about almost 9:30 when I turned my computer on to catch up on the news before the program tonight, grab a little quick bite to eat, get ready to head up to the station. And I went to Drudge Report, and right here in big red bold headline, Facebook killer on the run, I murdered 15, Easter Sunday horror. And I'm thinking, good grief, this is terrible. Where did this happen? And I click on it, and it says Cleveland police are chasing this guy down. And so just as we were going on the air, I guess a report came through that they were chasing a white Ford Focus with temp plates, I guess, matching the description of this guy on Route 90 through the Cleveland area. Not sure it's on the east side or the west side. So I'm sure more will come in as time goes by. But pray for the situation there. We're really not sure. It's a fluid situation. Not really sure what all's happening there at the moment. This guy's claiming that he's killed a bunch of people, but they only know for sure about one. And pretty graphic. Facebook took it down, thankfully. I did not see it myself. Andrew was telling me when I came in that he did see it. He just basically walked up to some guy and shot him point blank. And all because he's mad at his ex-girlfriend and his mom, I guess. And it's just such a terrible situation. But pray for the family of this gentleman that was killed, and also that they would catch this guy and be able to find out what's going on and sort this out, what the truth of this matter is, whether he's boasting about the others or whether he actually did something. So whatever the case is, they need to catch this guy. Cleveland police, I'm sure area police around the area are all on the alert. I know driving into the station today coming up 77, those little traffic signs that they have where they issue amber alerts and things like that, had that on there to be on the lookout for this car, had description of the car and everything. So pray for people out in that area. And I know that they have a good deal, good reason to be concerned about this. So do pray for them. And so we'll try and get back into our regular radio mode here as well tonight. And as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the program here this evening. And we're going to talk about a number of things here tonight. Of course, today being Easter Sunday, a day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. Just a moment here, and I think you're going to say something. All right, and I thought maybe I had some really more hot news coming in, a news tip, but nothing. Just just the stuff. I hope you had a wonderful day. We're going to talk about Easter a little bit, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about other things. If you've got a question, like I said, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for making it possible, Lord. And again, we just want to thank you so much for making it possible for us to extend our contract in Florida through the end of October. We just thank you and praise you. And just, Lord, just pray that you bless those that prayed for us, those that gave to make it possible. And pray that, again, that you would use us for your glory. Just pray that you would bless the program tonight. We do pray for the police and those that are searching for this individual. Pray that they would be able to find him and get him off the streets. Pray for the family of the gentleman that he killed. And I just pray that you would, again, as we come before you on this this Easter Sunday night, could just simply, in the midst of all the stuff going on in the world locally as well as around the world, that we could for a time at least center a little of our attention upon you and upon the wonderful gift of salvation that we think about at this time, how Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And I just pray, use us for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, exciting around here a little bit right now, trying to figure out what's happening there. And so pray for the people in the area. And also, if you've been watching international news, just touch on a couple things there too. Things in the Korean Peninsula are dicey at best, I guess you could say. But it's interesting when you think about it. We mentioned, I believe, they had the missile strike on the Syrian airfield where they launched the flights that dropped the chemical weapons there in Syria. And the, what was it? I believe it was 59 Tomahawk missiles that we sent in, and we took out hangars and fuel storage and aircraft and different things like that. People say, why didn't they bomb the runway? Well, because it would have been a waste of the cruise missiles, because the runways can be fixed very quickly, within hours, and so there's no use wasting a perfectly good Tomahawk missile on a runway. Instead, they went for more infrastructure and aircraft and things. But the key that I wanted to mention here, not rehashing that particular episode, is that President Trump was having dinner with the leader of Communist China at the time, and he informed him what we had just done. And the leader of China went back to his country and informed the various officials, military and government officials in his country that, we don't have President Obama to kick around anymore. You know, there's a new sheriff in town. This guy's different. And then when they dropped that that large, they call it the mother of all bombs, the mobile air or ordnance, airburst ordnance that they dropped there on the ISIS target, the largest non-nuclear bomb in our arsenal, and something that could have been used in other cases, but government officials, as opposed to military officials, would not allow them to do it. And our current president is saying, listen, the military is doing what the military knows how to do. I have confidence in them. And he's put the thing in their hands to make the decisions. And you can bet that this was also telegraphed to the Chinese, and that's why right now the Chinese have canceled the coal shipments coming in from North Korea. China is North Korea's biggest customer for coal. It's one of North Korea's biggest imports, and they've stationed about 150,000 Chinese troops there on the border with North Korea, and we've got the carrier group that just moved in, the American Carrier Group, just moved into the area, and all the firepower that's on that. And I heard on the news also this evening coming up that Hawaii is looking into taking steps to defend Hawaii and to get people in Hawaii ready in case the North Koreans should launch a missile attack that might include Hawaii. And they have missiles that can reach that far. But I also heard another interesting thing. One of the reasons apparently they've been having trouble with their missiles when they launch them is the computer chips apparently have some kind of virus or something in them that's causing them to malfunction. Wonder where that came from. But so as a consequence, things are very tense on the Korean Peninsula right now. And these events with the Tomahawk missiles raining down on the Syrian airfield and the mother of all bombs being dropped on the ISIS tunnel complex in Afghanistan. These things are reverberating around the world. They were designed, to have an effect, a tactical effect on the battlefield, of course, but they're also having a strategic effect, telegraphing to China, to Russia, to Iran, to North Korea, that the United States is not going to sit back and be a patsy and allow some of these tubby little two-bit dictators like they're in North Korea to kind of yank around the rest of the world. And I liked what President Trump said when he said North Korea is a problem, and it's been a problem, and it's going to be taken care of. And basically, one way or another, right now, the Chinese, as a result of what President Trump has done, are working right now to put pressure on the North Korean dictator to rein him in. And the guy, I don't know, I have my doubts about him being reined in. He's I don't think he's completely with it. I don't need to go into too much detail on him, but pray for the people there on the Korean Peninsula. There's a sizable number of Christians in South Korea and a growing Christian population there. And just pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are there, and pray for the people that are there. It's a dangerous world. It only takes a few things going awry, a few missteps, a few mistakes, a few mistaken thoughts about what might or might not have happened to trigger something larger. But I agree with what several people have said. Better to take care of Kim Jong-un now before he has, 50 or more nuclear weapons on missiles that he can send here and there. It's better to take care of him now, deal with the situation now, rather than let him acquire these types of weapons, because he's too unstable, to be really, frankly, I think, to be trusted with those weapons. But anyway, we can talk about some of those things. Big thing with that is the Bible says that there'd be wars and rumors of wars, but the time of the end is not yet. And we know that. We know that God has a plan. And we do know from the scripture that some things are going to get worse before they get better. But God, we read the end of the book, God wins. God has given us the end of the book. We know how it turns out. So pray for our country, pray for our world, pray for the situation in the Middle East. And there's certainly a lot going on there with saber rattling in various parts. Sinai Peninsula has a lot of Al-Qaeda and ISIS and different groups like that that are there working with Hamas. And the Israelis are worried that something might transpire there out of the Gaza Strip again. Excuse me. And then, of course, between ISIS and various groups and Hezbollah and Iran in Lebanon and Syria and places around there with designs on Israel from the north. It's a dangerous time in the Middle East. So pray for the people that are there, and pray, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, just covering, just a number of things that are happening in the world, but we don't want to be discouraged over it. It's easy to be overwhelmed. It's easy to allow anxiety to overwhelm you when you look at the world and you think, how can we cope with these things? How can we, you know, deal with this? But I'm always reminded of what our Savior said in verse in Luke chapter 21 when he's talking about the last days, and he says in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I promised we'd get back to talking about some things dealing with Easter and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take a look at a couple of things here, and I want to turn over to Acts chapter 12. And this is a good question somebody posed to me one time, and so I started looking into it to try and figure out exactly what's going on here. In Acts chapter 12, the setting here is Herod has taken the opportunity to persecute some of the Christians, and it says, well, I'll just start reading here in Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, this is an interesting statement here, and people have asked about this because in the King James Version of the Bible, unlike other Bibles, it says Easter. It's the only time the word Easter appears in the Bible, and a lot of people have questioned this and questioned, why is that that word there? We have people who teach that Easter came as a name dealing with a festival to celebrate Astarte or Ashtaroth, Venus, Ishtar, by various names. We have these various fertility goddesses or goddesses of love and things like that that we have. And as we're looking at this, you would think, well, okay, is that what he's talking about? Because after all, Easter sounds a lot like Ishtar or perhaps it sounds like the, old Saxon gods and goddesses before Christianity. I think it was Yoster or something like that. I'm trying to think from memory here at the moment. That was the goddess, a fertility goddess, basically the same as Ishtar or Astarte or Ashtaroth or Venus. Very basically Artemis, same one in each case. And they said that that's what's being talked about here. And people have said, well, Herod, his lineage is from Idumea, and that would be down around toward the Dead Sea area. And he might have worshipped this fertility goddess. And so since she was worshipped in the springtime, it would have been occurring about the same, roughly the same time as the Passover. And so that's how that crept in here. But the problem with that is that the word that's used here in this particular location where the King James says Easter is the word Pascha. And the word Pascha is a Greek word. It's a transliteration in the Greek from the Hebrew Pasch, which is the word that we get the English word Passover from. And in fact, in the King James Version of the Bible, it is translated as Passover every time but here. And so there's a lot of different comments where people have said, I'm thinking of Albert Barnes in his commentary where he says, there never was a more absurd or unhappy translation than this. And he says it's completely wrong. Let's see, Adam Clark says, perhaps there was never a more unhappy, not to say absurd, translation than that in our text. And they say that they're in error. and that this is an error in the Bible, in the translation. Now, keep in mind that when the King James translators were translating this, they were very knowledgeable of what these words meant, and they understood that Tyndale, in his copy or translating of the Bible into the English language, he took the Hebrew and the Greek words, Pasch and Pascha, and he invented a word called Passover. Now, linguistically, that's a brilliant word invention because it carries the sense of what the Jewish Passover was. Remember how on the night before they were delivered from Egypt, Moses was told by God to warn the people to kill a lamb and to dip a hyssop into the blood and put it on the sides, the lintels of the door, and then at the top of the door, and they put the basin at the bottom of the door, and then they would go into the house and they would eat the lamb and the other food that they had there with unleavened bread and all, and that was the forerunner of the Passover Seder that's observed by Jews throughout the world today. And when they did this, the death angel was going to pass through Egypt, and it was going to take the firstborn of every family, but if the blood was applied to the doorposts, the death angel would pass over that house. And that's where Tyndale's word Passover was so brilliant to use that word, rather than to do what many other languages did and do exactly what the Greek language does, take the Hebrew word and just transliterate it into that language. If you look at a number of languages, it's, I think, in the Psalm 1 Bible, for instance, they use the term Pascha, even though that's not a Psalm 1 word. They just transliterated it into the Psalm 1 language in the Psalm 1 Bible, and many other Bibles did this. But Tyndale, he invented this word Passover, and it covers the thought. Plus, it also sounds a lot like Pascha. It's got that similar sound there. But he put this word Easter here for a reason, and this word is here not because it dates back to worship of the fertility goddess. This word is used here because this word comes from the Saxon, which comes from the Germanic origins, and I know we're running out of time in this half hour here, and so I need to just touch on this. Let me just read this. A man by the Nick Sayers wrote this. He said, because the English Anglo-Saxon language originally derived from the Germanic, there are many similarities between the German and English. Many English writers refer to German language as the mother tongue. The English word Easter is of German-Saxon origin, and not Babylonian, as Alexander Hislop falsely claimed. The German equivalent is Oster, that's O-S-T-E-R. Oster, Ostern being the modern-day equivalent, is related to Ost, which means the rising of the sun, or simply in English, East. Oster comes from the Old Teutonic form of Auferstehung, I believe it is, Auferstehung, which means resurrection. The offer part of it means first, and the Stenen or Stehung, I'm not a German speaker, it means to stand. And so he's the first to stand, you know, the resurrection, first in the resurrection, which in the older Teutonic form comes from two words, Esther meaning first, Stenen meaning to stand, as I just said. The two words combine to form Easteren, which is an old German form of Auferstehung, the modern German word for resurrection. And the reason that this is important is because it harkens back also to the thing about where 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about the day star rising in your heart, and also in Revelation 22, where Jesus is described as the bright and morning star. And the resurrection was discovered on that Sunday morning when the women went to the tomb at morning, at the time of the dawning. And east and dawn, you know, is encompassed in that word Osten and Oster, which gives us the word Easter, referring to the first to stand in the resurrection, which is the bright and morning star, the day star that rose from the grave victorious over sin and death. And I know we kind of went through that hurriedly there on the end because we've got a break coming up, but there is a very very good word origin of our word Easter. Now, for years, I taught that Easter, because of reading Alexander Hislop's book, which has a lot of good stuff in it, I taught that Easter was based on a pagan holiday and we should avoid it, use the term Resurrection Sunday. But here's the thing. Easter, that's kept in the King James Bible in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, was not referring to the Jewish Passover, which was the shadow of something greater to come that was fulfilled in Christ. Instead, it's referring to the Christian Passover, the celebration of our Passover lamb, which in German was the Osterlamb, and he is our Passover, and he is the fulfillment of the Jewish Passover type. And here's another way that we know that this is not the Jewish Passover. Look back in Acts chapter 12, verse 3 again. And because he sought further please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Do you know when the unleavened bread feast was celebrated? That was after Passover, after the Jewish Passover. Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If the Jewish Passover was what was in mind here in Acts 12, verse 4, then Peter would have been kept in prison for a year before he was to be killed. And the context of this, with the church having an all-night prayer meeting for his deliverance, doesn't reflect that. Instead, it reflects exactly what the origin of the word Easter means, that it was the Christian observance of the resurrection of Christ, our Easter lamb or Oster lamb. Well, we're going to be on for another half hour. Stay tuned and join us in the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight, right here on your radio dial. Hope you'll stick with us. And we were talking about a number of things there in the first half hour going on in the area, and so I did not give out some other information that I had hoped to. I really realized it after the break there, but you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our Facebook page for there, or you can go just directly to Facebook and look us up, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And they have a number of things there. And we were talking in the last half hour a bit about the origin of the word Easter. And I'll mention a couple things there too here in just a minute related to that again. But you can find some links to some articles about that also on Facebook at our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. And I think I have an audio program also there on our webpage at livewithpastoral.com dealing with the subject, and you can look up there. Don't just take my word for it. There's a lot of good people on both sides of the issue, and when I looked at it, I wanted to know why that word Pascha was there where it's Easter. If it was a pagan holiday, why wasn't it Ishtar or something like that? And some person tried to say, well, that's because Herod called that his Passover. Well, it made no sense. And looking into it, I don't want to get into that right now. I've got a couple things I want to mention before we get back to that. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 is our phone number. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And also wanted to remind you about East Coast Pizza out at Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in the Cleveland area, you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And so you can't miss it there. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one topping pizza for just $5. And we also mention it here, even though people in Tampa are not likely to drive up to Cleveland to get a pizza, and it'd probably be an expensive delivery charge to ship it down to Tampa. Though that reminds me of a story from when we were in the Samoan Islands. If I remember, I'll have to mention that here in a minute. But you can, if you're interested though in starting your own pizza business, well, the key ingredient is to have a good pizza recipe. And for good pizza, you need a great dough and you need great sauce. And Gus there at East Coast Pizza has his own recipe, his own sauce, his own dough. And if you're interested in starting your own pizza shop without all those high franchise fees and all that, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, we're going to get back to a couple of things here. And I was mentioning about, the delivery charges on pizza. And I remember my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We had an interesting time where we had another family that came with us, came to work with us, I should say. We'd been down there. We were down there for 4 years. We were down there, I think, about 2 years, two and a half years, I guess it was, when we had another family come to work with us. And while they were there, their kids loved going to McDonald's. That was just their favorite place to go. And, of course, there was no McDonald's restaurants in the Samoan Islands. Well, shortly before they got there, they opened one up over in the independent country of Samoa. We were in the U.S. territory of American Samoa, and this is out in the middle of the South Pacific, about 13 degrees below the equator. You have to go to Hawaii and fly for about 6 hours out over the Pacific until you get there, and so there's nothing there. And then they opened this McDonald's over in Western Samoa, and it was kind of exciting for a lot of people because people heard about it, and they have in the Samoan culture what they call an umu. It's an outdoor oven. They sort of dig a hole in the ground. They line it with rocks. They build a fire in it, and the rocks get all hot. And they put all these hot, have all these hot rocks in there, and then they put the stuff in there to cook for the umu, and then they cover it with banana leaves and sand and whatever, and then they just let that heat cook everything in there all day. And so McDonald's, in a brilliant marketing move, and I've got no advertising revenue coming in from them, so don't worry about that. But it is germane to the story. They started with this thing called McUmu Packs, where you could take food home from McDonald's. That was their advertising thing. Well, this family that was with us in Samoa, their kids, after being there, they were a little homesick, and they were a little short on money, and they didn't have much food in the house. And they were having family devotions, and the kids were praying, and they had looked at where Elijah was fed by the birds that God sent to bring him food. And they said, you know, the one looked at their dad and said, "Dad, could God send a bird to bring us some McDonald's?" And, you know, okay, your dad, and you're, as far as you know, thousands of miles from the nearest McDonald's. And how would you answer that question? So he said, "Well, yeah, he could." He didn't want to take away his child's faith or anything like that. And he's thinking, "Yeah, right. How's that going to happen?" Well, unbeknownst to them, at the time that was going on, we knew that they were feeling a little homesick and that the kids really liked McDonald's. And we knew about this service that was being done through Polynesian Air. That was the Samoan airline from over in the independent country of Samoa. And they had this deal set up with McDonald's where you could call the airline or stop by the airline in American Samoa at the airport, and you could order a McUmu pack. And you could order this food, and they would put it on Polynesian Air, and they would fly it over. They did this during the lunch hour, and they'd have a couple flights that they would do this with in the day. And so we thought, you know, this would be a nice way to be a blessing to them, and they won't expect it because they don't know about this. They're new. So we went down to the airport. We ordered a McUmu pack, and when it arrived, we picked it up. And we told them, we said, "Don't fix anything for food." It was kind of funny because the family, their name was Yingling. Some people listening might know the Yingling family. And Brother Yingling said, "We didn't have any food in the house, and we weren't sure what we were going to do. But we were just trusting the Lord." Well, they didn't know this. And so we went to the airport, picked up the McUmu pack, drove up to their house, and we brought in a box full of McDonald's food. And the little kids are like, "Wow, it's just what we prayed for." And their parents' eyes are bugging out. And then they told us the rest of the story. And it was kind of interesting because, after all, what happened? God touched our hearts to order the food. They put it on a big bird, the airplane, Twin Otter is what it was called, and flew it over to our island. We picked it up and brought it to them and fed them. And it was an answer to a little child's prayer. We didn't know what was going on. The parents didn't know how anything like that could happen. And so it was a great lesson in faith, the faith of a child. And we had the opportunity to be a part of that. And that's why when the Lord touches you to do something for somebody, you know, it's good to do it. It's good to do it because you might just be the answer to somebody's prayer. They make a prayer, and God touches your heart so that you can be the answer to that prayer. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Jeannie, I believe, calling in tonight. Welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I appreciate you taking my call. Hi. I called last week as well. But
yes.
I just like to make a comment. I don't understand how a real Christian that really loves the Lord and how they can get so upset and so disturbed by us celebrating Easter, which proclaims, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, making it known to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And how they can get so upset over that, and it's just, and also Christmas. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, you know, born of a virgin, God in the flesh, born and come come to save us from our sins and to die on the cross. How could they get so upset over that? It's one Christmas I sent out, I always send out religious Christmas cards, but the one Christmas especially, I mean, you don't need to witness to a person every single year, but I still say something about Jesus. But I actually witnessed to everyone, family, friends, everybody that I knew wasn't a Christian. I witnessed to them in the card in a loving way. And, you know, so that gives you a chance. And those Christmas cards that are even out there, people see those, and it, mm-hmm. it just brings to their mind, you know, that what Christians really believe and why.
Yeah, well, let me touch on the Christmas part first, then we'll come back to why people don't like
and
these things.
I have one other thing real quick I want to say. The people that are talking about not observing certain days, special days, to esteem any day higher than the next, could you touch on that a little bit, Jason?
Oh, sure, sure.
Talking about?
We can do
Thank you.
And let me touch on the Christmas part first, because that's kind of an easy one. A lot of people will avoid Christmas, and I'm not trying to champion this position. I'm just saying a lot of people will avoid it because they think, well, the actual Christmas celebration is based on pagan celebrations, okay? And they'll use that, and some people on you know, the desire to be pure in their worship of Christ, because they believe that it's based on pagan celebrations. They want to avoid it. They want to avoid any worldliness, any pagan connections to that. And plus, you don't see any celebration of the birth of Christ in the Bible. Now, I personally, we celebrate Christmas, and I believe it's a great time to interest people in the Bible and things of Christ. It's a great time. People want to talk about it, and people are open to it, and people will come to church on Christmas that won't come for any other day other than Easter. And I'm not too worried about make a big deal about Christmas. And some people believe that the Christmas tree is cited in Isaiah as the tree that's plated with gold and silver, but the key is it's plated with gold and silver. All the branches are stripped off, and they turn it into a graven image. But moving from there to the Easter thing, as we were mentioning in the last half hour, there's this erroneous teaching out there. I myself believed it for quite a number of years. I read the book by Alexander Hislop where he contended that Easter was derived from the worship of the false goddess Ishtar, the fertility goddess. That's the same as Venus or Astaroth or.
I'm glad you cleared that up to me.
Yeah, and
I thought before I'd heard that.
Yeah,
you know, and I thought, well, I
yeah.
You know.
In fact,
I see that word Easter in the Bible one time, and I was saying, well, that's in the Bible.
Yeah, and it's there for a reason. In fact, I got a couple other verses here I'll touch on with that again here in just a moment. But here's the thing. Teaching was also popularized by another guy by the name of Woodrow, I believe it was. He had a book on Mystery Babylon, I think is what it was called. And he echoed Hislop's position. But Woodrow later repudiated that and issued another book, and I don't recall the name of it right now, where he basically talked about what I was talking about in the last half hour, Easter, and when he looked into it, beyond what Hislop has said, Hislop made, you know, he's got a lot of good stuff in some of his works, but he made a classic error in the fact that because Ishtar and Easter sound very much the same, that they must be of the same origin, and they're not. Easter derived from the Anglo-Saxon back to the German, and let me just give you this right here, and this is another section of or another verse that indicates that Easter is a word that was used in terms even of the Jewish Passover at one time by some translators. Wycliffe, for instance, used in Luke 2:41, and as I'll read it as best I can in Wycliffe's Middle English, I guess is what it is, and his Feder and Moder went each year into Jerusalem in the solemn day of Pasch, meaning the Passover. Well, Luther in the German instead of writing Pasch or some variation on that, it's Auf das Osterfest. And Oster has to do in the German language with East or the dawning. And then Tyndale, when he did his translation of Luke chapter 2, verse 41, he said, and his father and mother went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Easter. And he did not get that from Ishtar. He got that in reference to Passover because it was based on a Saxon word that was derived from German that was Oster, and he had that in English at the time as Easter, and I believe this would be the 1500s. And then, of course, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, the King James translators went back to another word that Tyndale had come up with, where he said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So Tyndale had at one time used the word Easter or Esther to refer to the Jewish Passover. He was using it for every Passover at one time. And the King James translators used Passover for the Jewish celebration and then wisely to distinguish the Christian Passover celebrating the resurrection of Christ to make that distinct from the Jewish Passover, which was a remembrance of the passing over of the death angel, which was a type of Christ who was our Passover, so that we have the blood of Christ applied to our hearts, that death passes over us, just like the death angel passed over the houses that had the blood of the Passover lamb. And Jesus was even called the Oster lamb by Luther. And so we have that right there. And the King James translators in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, to distinguish the Christian Passover from the Jewish Passover, they retain Passover for the Jewish Passover and Easter for the one clear reference to the Christian observation of the resurrection of Christ, the Christian Passover, the fulfillment of the type that was observed in the Jewish Passover. And of course, it came during the days of unleavened bread, which occur immediately after the Jewish feast of Passover. And so the Jewish feast of Passover, then unleavened bread took place, and the Christian Passover, or Oster, or as we call it today, Easter, occurred. And so when you really look into it, there's absolutely no relation to Ishtar or Astarte or Venus or anything like that. And there's an old Saxon goddess, fertility goddess, that has a similar sounding name, but it's not that one either. It goes directly back to the Germanic roots of our word Easter, back to Oster, meaning the dawning or the east, and that recognizes the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ, the day star that dawns in our heart, Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ, whose resurrection happening, but they observed that the tomb was empty at dawn on that Sunday morning. They went to the tomb, and they were wondering who would roll the stone away, and the angel of the Lord came down and rolled the stone away. The keepers, the soldiers, fainted, basically. They were as dead men, and the angel tells them to look in the tomb and says, you know, see the place where the Lord lay, past tense, and said, he's not here, because he's already gone. Jesus was gone before the stone was rolled away.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that. He was gone before the stone was rolled. Stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let us in and to see that the tomb was empty. Yeah, and so a lot of people think, and I'm guilty of having been there and taught this myself, that Easter is a pagan term, and so they want to avoid that. Now, it doesn't help that we have Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. Now, Easter eggs and Easter bunnies have nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eggs were fertility symbols, and so were bunnies. You know, everybody knows about bunnies multiplying. You have two bunnies, you know you're going to have two dozen, because they multiply as fast as rabbits.
And to not to not esteem one day higher than another, doesn't that just mean, you know, sometimes the Jewish people would call it a high holy day or something? Doesn't
well, yeah.
that just mean that we should keep every day holy for the Lord?
Exactly. And there's a good passage in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, and let me just read starting in verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then he says in verse 16 and 17, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And all those holy days that we read about in the Old Testament, all those Sabbath observances, all those sacrifices, all those new moon holy days that took place, and the different things.
Just the old law.
Yeah, and they were just a shadow of what was to come. Now, you know, I remember as a kid playing outside in the summer, you know, when the sun, it takes a long time to go down in the evening and you get those long shadows. And we used to always think that was so neat to be able to see a shadow that just seemed to stretch way across the yard, even though we weren't very tall. But that shadow was nothing. It was a shadow of the body, right? The body was what's important. And you could see somebody coming around the corner because their shadow would precede them. You might not see them right away, but you would see somebody was coming because of the shadow. And that's what these things were. They were a shadow. And we have people today who get really caught up on these things, you know, Sabbath keeping, respective holy days, should or shouldn't do this, should or shouldn't do that. And these were types. These were pictures, shadows of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Christ came, and the shadows are fulfilled in Christ. That's what I was saying. The Christian Passover, Easter, was a fulfillment of the shadow that the Jewish Passover was. The Jewish Passover pictured the coming sacrifice of Christ, our Passover lamb, that would be slain so that we might live, that we could be delivered from death.
Yes.
And when Christ came, the need for that Passover observance of the Passover lamb and all that really wasn't necessary because the type had now been fulfilled in Christ. And now we remember the one who came. Just like when we do the Lord's Supper in church, you know, if we're doing it biblically, Paul said that Jesus, you know, recording that in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about Jesus saying, this do ye in remembrance of me. He's not being sacrificed again. The Bible says he was sacrificed once, and that's all it took. He was the fulfillment of all those lambs that were sacrificed, all those bullocks that were sacrificed, all that stuff that took place in the temple and in the synagogue. It was fulfilled in Christ. That's why the curtain was ripped, that the veil that separated the holy from the holy place from the rest of the temple, because it wasn't needed anymore. These holy days and these things are not needed anymore. If somebody wants to celebrate Passover, have a Passover Seder, oh, there's a lot in the Passover Seder that pictures Christ. It's a tremendous thing. If they want to do that, that's fine. If people want to celebrate Jewish holidays, if people want to celebrate Christmas, if people want to celebrate Easter, that's fine. But those are only pictures of what Christ accomplished, aren't they? And so we have the fulfillment in Christ. That's the most important thing, is knowing who Jesus Christ is. And when we put our faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior, and our sins are forgiven, these holy days really don't matter. We can fulfill them if we want to. But we have the fulfillment, which is Christ. Thanks for the call. We're out of time tonight, and God bless. I hope you had a great Easter. Join us next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.
You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.